Welcome to podcast 39.
Well, you got the number right.
And this is Overkill, the editor. We're going to edit all of you motherfuckers out. It's all going to be me.
It's going to be a very quiet podcast then.
Yep.
I'm sure.
You're a terrible Barry.
Yeah.
In fact, you're not even Kevin.
Yeah.
2,000 years moon.
Speaking of Kevin, he's not here this episode.
Yeah,
but I'm here, so
Blackcaster,
all is well.
Blackcaster ditched us because he thought there'd be too many people.
Oh, wait. It can't be an Ixy video, an Ixy fun thing, without me opening a drink.
No, it's not the
going
same.
Hardcore by making it a 2-liter bottle instead of a can like we usually do.
Attaboy.
The proud, noble tradition.
I used to be annoyed by that, but I love it now.
This episode brought to you by Diet Pepsi. When you want,
it's the choice of a new generation.
Jesus, that was hyper-toned. Like
you,
Diet Pepsi. Blah.
You made this product placement. This is a goddamn podcast. No one thought.
Guys,
not actual product placement.
Guys, let me just say, let's cue the roll call.
You stole my line.
Actually, we're not gonna cue the roll call. Now we'll cue the roll call.
You fuck.
We're live. Watching all the anime. Red Caster, Joe Raven.
Equipment Wielder. Blue Caster, Ishida Zazeel.
Respecting the source material. Green Caster, Zenshin.
Loyal and Loud. Pink Caster, Lightred.
Rising from the ashes. Silver Caster, Overkill.
Trauma Inducer, North Caster, Selsama.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Once again, welcome to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. We have a very full room today. We have the full, well, not the full, we have red, blue, green, pink, as well as Silver Caster rising from the depths of his bedroom.
Rising from the ashes!
We already did the roll call!
Oh.
And, once again, North Caster is
Trauma Inducer!
We already did the roll call!
Fuckface! I'm sorry, I choked!
What kind of color is a North?
North
it's
is...
It's not a color.
It's like white, but it's got like some touches of cyan in there.
No,
it's
white,
icy.
But it's got like some yellow snow in there.
No,
oh,
it's
there
blue
go.
Because it's from like up north.
Winter is coming!
What you just described is the
nuclear winter is coming.
Yes. Power Rangers color I've ever heard.
Coming
yes.
from the former...
I was hipster caster!
I was about to say, coming
check,
from former hipster
caster. If you check on my Twitter at Lightred, I posted a picture on New Year's Day of me wearing my pink hoodie, and then I wore a pink ranger mask that Aichi gave me.
That's
I'm very proud of it.
That's right. This is our first episode of 2015.
Oh, yeah!
Oh. We made it!
Everybody clap!
We crossed the time barrier!
I give it a Dumbledore clap. You all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, well done, Slytherin. Well done, Slytherin. However.
because as tradition dictates, Gryffindor would win this year.
Fucking Dumbledore played by Tim Curry.
I would watch that.
I would watch that to death.
I want Tim Curry playing Snape.
How is this Tokusatsu related at all?
Hold on. Turn to page 394.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did you put that name into your goblet? In the goblet.
But anyway, yes, this Tokusatsu podcast.
Yes. Yeah. So any news?
There is a bit of news. I'm not sure if we brought it up before, but
the ninja stuff.
Yeah. So.
It's the sword!
Called it! It was the sword morpher!
For Ninja, based on the trailer they recently showed, we've confirmed that Ninja henshins by putting their colored shurikens on the handle of their swords.
Now, here's the thing. On the sword, I saw like the some of the scans. They have like the multiple colors on every sword.
Yeah.
So I was thinking...
Do they color change?
Yeah, again? Are they going to use another color change motif?
I think I read somewhere that there were rumors about the color change motif coming back.
Yeah.
Is that just going to be a staple of Sentai now?
No, not
at least they'll do it right.
Well, not necessarily.
Tokuger did it right
because,
a couple times.
No, because, well, no.
And you know what? They haven't done it in a while.
There was a couple times where they did it smart.
Episode 2 is the only time they ever did it right.
That's perfect. It's perfect covert.
I was going to say, but episode 2 of Tokuger is the only time they ever did it right.
If they're being chased, they can transform into another color
and slip
away.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
No, it
the episode
sense.
We're talking about this week was a flashback episode.
Oh, was it?
To that episode.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
cool.
Actually, I remember. We made that point. Like, oh, wait, they're doing it. Oh, wait. This
This is a...
Bullshit. Moving on.
Okay. They also have been revealing some more info about who's doing the music for Ninja. Apparently, I don't know which is which, but the opening and the ending for Ninja will be done by the guys who did the Tokyuger opening and the Rokugo battle theme song.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Did you guys talk about the cast for the Gaim Gaiden movie last week?
That's what I was going to mention. I'm not sure if we brought it up last week, but they've confirmed. I don't think we did. They confirmed that in the Kamen Rider Baron and Zangetsu movies, probably more the Zangetsu movie, we're going to get to meet the patriarch of the Kureshima family, Takatora and Michi's dad, yeah. Who is being played by the very same motherfucker that played Sonozaki Ryube in Kamen Rider Double.
What?
I love that.
I'm actually okay with this.
I'm
this
so really okay
My
with
response
this.
Is,
But, like, he's a good actor. He's
what
a
are
very
you, Crocodile from One Piece?
He's the most comic book villain Kamen Rider's ever had.
But he's a very good actor. He played his role very well.
And he was genuinely terrifying.
And he was genuinely right. Good, yeah.
We also learned the name of their butler. His name is Alfred. Not even shitting you.
Yeah, Kamen Rider. One of the villains, Kamen Rider Tyrant, who uses the Dragon Fruit Energy Lockseed, is played by the Kureshima family butler, who's apparently named Alfred.
Yeah.
Oh, and apparently the movie also includes a super overlord who looks remarkably similar to Garincha, the bull one. I forgot the name.
Oh, and they revealed that with the apple lock seed that they're coming out with, it comes with what's-her-face's faceplate.
Oh, yeah, it comes with Eden's faceplate, because yeah. Eden uses apple arms. And yeah, we've confirmed it's straight up just called the apple lock seed. It's like a normal apple. That's although, it. Visually, the arms is identical to Golden Arms, except for having silver trim instead of gold. But what really bugs me, this is Mr. Boat Mechanics talking.
Yeah.
The same Lockseed on Baron has the little wing flaps that, you know, Mars has, but the same Lockseed on Eden, no wing flaps.
Eh.
It bugs me, but whatever.
No wings.
Oh, well.
It's not Thor. She's not Thor.
You're going to make her
anyway.
Thor.
Thor. Oh.
You're going to make her Thor.
Yes, I am.
So.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I saw, some scans of the new of the movie that they're promoting the fuck out of with the drive intro.
Oh, the drive guy.
Yeah,
one?
I saw some scans of the henshin that the guy with the golden gun does.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Oh, Lupin.
And he has golden fucking wheels, golden spinners and wheels that come onto him.
Makes sense. It's gonna be the same as
onto him hard.
It's gonna be the same as Machine Chasers, but like golden and jewel encrusted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I'm looking forward to it. I'm very tempted to buy the Lupin Gunner so I can just like mash it with the brake gunner together and like do a double henching.
All right, guys, all we need is drive.
All we need is drive.
All right, moving
what
along.
What happened in this week's episode again? I kind of forgot.
The debut of Kamen Rider Mach.
Right, that's why.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
AKA Kamen Rider Speed Racer, but we'll get into that when it happens.
Like, oh, right, Mach, that's why.
Kamen Rider Knievel.
So we start off this episode seeing, for once, actual police.
Real douchebags, though.
Of course.
Because they're explaining the situation, and then they're like, no, there's nothing. And Gen just sits back and he's like, nope, I know what's happened. So the monster,
slow down.
Oh, he said that there was. He goes,
yeah, they're slow down.
Slow down in the area. Reported in the area,
and then stop. And they're like, "Gen, you're so stupid!" Ah, and they're all just laughing in his face.
Why are you all cops again? Ignoring evidence?
No, but it's because Gen, when he joined the special units, crime unit or whatever, they don't care what he says. His opinion doesn't matter anymore.
These cops are clearly on the take, okay, from the monsters.
Okay.
Monsters taking money?
And yeah, so then Gen proceeds to go...
Seen Hart? He's totally pimping.
Okay. So then Gen
I'll
goes,
give you that.
Gen goes back to the Special Crimes Unit and he tells them, and then they're like, oh, no, there was no slowdown at the scene or anything.
We checked.
And Gen's just like...
For once, he's fired up to actually do shit.
And Gen's just like, fuck.
I think my favorite part of that entire scene is him walking down the hallway and all three... Shift cars, like, you know, Speed, Wild, and Technic.
Well, that was for Shinosuke.
Yeah, no, that was right after that. Like,
yeah,
case.
He's walking down the hallway and all three shift cars
are talking at the same time.
Yeah,
there's an echo. And I thought it was my copy of the video that was doing that, and I closed it and relaunched it, and I go, no, it's That's actually a thing.
It's creepy. I'm actually holding the Type Technic shift car right now, which I recently got, and I love it.
And it's talking to me.
Stop! Stop! I'm here now! I will punch you!
I did it once. Anyways, so it's at this point that we see Go for the first time, and he's being a fucking smarmy-ass, flighty-ass motherfucker.
I love it!
And breaking the law!
Here's the thing. Usually I like those kind of characters, but I don't know what it is yet. Something about him bugs me.
Maybe it's the fact that his name is fucking Go.
That's part of it.
Maybe no,
we'll get into that.
Actually get ass if you want.
The funniest things though, like, because the...
He's breaking the law.
No, but Shinosuke's trying to figure out the case or whatever like that. And, like, Go's just, like, he's already figured everything out because he's, like, he's a smart-ass motherfucker. He's like, wow, for, you know, you're really behind on the race or whatever for a comrade that, you know, drives a car. And he's just, and then Shinosuke's like, fuck you!
Who the fuck are you?
No, but, like, you know, he literally is breaking the law by jumping into that guy's backyard, taking a picture of a cop who's doing an investigation, and the cop says, delete the picture, and he doesn't.
Well, yeah, clearly he doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't.
New catchphrase, I don't give a fuck!
No, wubba-dubba-dubba-dubba here.
Too late, it's happened.
We also get introduced to the gunman Roid Mude, which...
Oh my god.
Holy shit, is he the most badass one we've seen so far.
Roid Mude,
And weren't you, like, looking up the actor?
Yeah, I did, and I'll get back to you in a second.
Funniest moment where he actually turns into where he turns back to his human form, it's like... that makes sense. It's friggin' Django.
He's got like a fucking revolver. And
he's a black,
like,
guy.
It's a black guy in a cowboy outfit.
But,
with a gun.
So, like, he causes slowdown because it's Gen and Shinosuke are working together. So he, again, slips on a freaking thing of oil, starts falling off the building. As they're fighting,
finally answered the question from episode zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, hey, if you fall during slowdown, does it hurt?
Will the gravity catch up with you? Answer, no!
Apparently not! Because Gen fell, like, 7 stories, landed on his feet, and is like, I'm good!
That's shit! As tradition, he's Shinosuke goes over to see if Gen's all right.
Hold on, before we go further, I just want to point out that this is one of the times where Comrade Drive really just says, fuck you, and fuck the tension we just built. The whole show. Because, like, you see people falling, and it builds a sense of tension, and they catch them every time, but they tease him trying to catch Gen through, like, 3 different floors as he's fighting gunmen, and he finally, like, actually hits the ground, and I'm like, holy shit, but no, he's fine. Are you fucking serious?
Well, it's because he moves, he reacts enough, probably more in advance, so he can, like, actually plant his feet on the
That's
ground.
That's irrelevant!
He would have had to do, like, 4 rolls to get rid of that much
if
momentum.
If he had fallen on his ass or his face, it would have been the same result.
Now, I realize that, like, so Shinosuke, like, goes over to him, and he's like, oh, are you alright? And he's like, oh, Kamen Rider! Oh, green head! But I was really hoping that as he was, like, falling, I thought, because he was looking the opposite way.
Every time.
Every fucking time you saw him in a shot. So I was hoping that during that, he'd just look over quickly and just only see his head, and he'd be like, oh, green!
You know what I really liked? When he started drawing the picture of him, he basically drew a picture of any Showa rider that looked anything like Ichigo.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Back to you, though. The guy who played Gunman in this, the Gunman Roinoid, he was
Roinoid?
Sorry.
Roid Mew.
I don't care.
Hemorrhoid. Why'd you call hemorrhoid?
The gun Zoonoid. Hemorrhoid. Anyways,
the gunman Zoonoid.
He's very... We'll get to that.
Yeah.
He's. We see that he's African. He's black, right?
And you don't say.
Just like, he just like, oh, okay. So I looked him up. This guy's name is Bernard Aka.
Okay.
Right? He's German-born, Japanese-based Ivorian man.
Okay.
He's a Taekwondo. He's like, his main thing is Taekwondo, but check this shit out. He was in Wizard.
So they took a guy who trained in Taekwondo and just made him a gunner.
Yeah. He was Phantom Cat Sith in Wizard.
He was Cat Sith?
Yeah, you know what? That's what I thought. Because I remember seeing him and I'm like, you know what? He's probably from the Black Phantom that was in Wizard.
Cool.
Check this out. Just side note. He was also did the voice of the Master of Ceremonies in the Japanese version of Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds.
Okay.
Okay.
It's just weird.
I'm like 40 episodes into
five. We've lost Lane now. Lane has officially become boxer.
Are you the boxer roid mute?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, this is going a bit further into the plot, but this is... I love this entire episode, but there's one thing that was really stupid. So, they, like, find the culprit, whoever does it or anything, and again, like, he does something that I actually kind of laughed at. Like, he kind of starts, walking into where the guy is backwards, and he's like...
With the device.
And he's like, oh, slow down. And he's like, ha ha, it's not gonna work on me, motherfucker, I'm wearing this.
And then he goes like this, and he like I can't explain what he does. He
moved it back over as
no, like with his gun when he went to shoot him. Mm-hmm. What? And he put his hand over his head, and like shot upward, but with a flick, with his wrist.
Yeah.
What cop does that?
I don't know, but what we're overlooking is the fact that they nonchalantly said, "Oh yeah, here's the thing the cops can use to move through slowdown." Okay, cool.
That's in the plot now, and then it broke.
Yeah.
So then Shinosuke comes in, he's like, oh, I finally figured out everything. Sherlock, and he does his Sherlock thing, and you just see Go come in, and he's just like, nope.
He literally starts
hammering off, like, knocking out his fucking windows, and I was like,
those are physical?
No! Like, that's stupid.
That's his memories.
That's his mind.
Let's restate this just so people can fully conceptualize this. Tomari's doing his Sherlock thing where the scenes of the crime are spinning around him as he's speaking out loud
like
and piecing
TV
together the case. Yeah. Like, yeah, straight up. And Go, the flighty ass, smarmy asshole that he is, comes in already having solved the case, takes a hammer and steps...
It's not a hammer.
Whatever it is.
Mallet.
Wasn't even a mallet.
He's whatever.
He's a freaking soup ladle.
Yeah, it was a soup ladle.
Okay, yeah, soup ladle.
He just walks in with a soup ladle and it's like, ting!
And starts hammering the screens of his logic formulas out of his, like, visual, apparently realistic imagination.
And then he starts picking them up! Because he's like, yeah, no!
He starts trying to pick them up and put them back.
And he's like, no, I figured it out. I did it.
This is where...
Stop fucking with my shtick, bro!
This is where the director lost his mind.
Absolutely. Personally, that was my favorite scene in the whole episode, but it was batshit crazy.
I say it's a visual metaphor for him coming in and outclassing him.
Absolutely.
The human that was kind of working, no, he wasn't working with government, but like the human that was like involved in the case,
he was stupid. But he was stupid, but that apparently he had a bracelet that could artificially induce slowdown.
Well, remember that photographer guy had something like that.
No, he had the ability to walk through slowdown.
He had the cameroid mute with him.
So.
No, he didn't. He had a device. He had a little device that he put on his chest.
Oh, yeah. It would allow him to walk through it, but it didn't allow him to trigger slowdown.
Yeah,
guys, hold up. What?
Do you know who the Japanese, like, the human who had the slowdown bracelet reminded me of?
Who?
Dick Nubler from Metalocalypse.
Oh, remember, god damn it.
You remember the producer that he brought down in the submarine?
Yeah, that was just gonna be so cool.
Ah, so boss, kick ass, take it in. No, but he looks a lot like Dick Nubler.
He does.
Okay.
He looks like Dick Nubler. His name is Dick Nubler.
I'm like, this
sounds
amazing.
I love you, Metalocalypse.
Death clock! Okay. So Go comes in and there's some comments made about, hey, Japan's Kamen Rider sure does suck. Excuse me?
Was this Kamen Rider taking a pot shot at itself?
No.
This is them writing an American Kamen Rider.
So Gunman's
crazy. That sounds exactly.
So
Gunman's
like fighting him, so like that. Does. And then all you just hear is just freaking Go on a rooftop. He's just, ladies and gentlemen.
Completely ripping off every single catchphrase from the current Yu-Gi-Oh protagonist.
Superstar,
by the way.
Superstar action.
Did you just accuse him of ripping off Yu-Gi-Oh by saying ladies and gentlemen?
Not even just that. Like, there's several other catchphrases.
Then we get to see that the amazing circus ship car was apparently with them the entire time.
Or at least
and
no, it wasn't America. He goes, that's amazing circus. That should have been in America.
Yeah, he's like, what's it doing here? And then spews out a whole bunch of, like, stage, like, props and stuff to put on a stage for Mach. And
like,
I'm like,
there's just a stage there where he, like, gathers Tomari and then Kiriko, and then Amazing Circus straight up vomits a light show.
I cannot wait for the shift car to come out. I am buying the fuck out of it. And then he decides to put on a Go puts on a show. Haha, rhymed. And transforms into Kamen Rider Mach
with
and
the coolest belt I've ever
seen. Yes, I am.
Oh, hold on. Let's finish the episode discussion, then we'll talk about Mach.
Yeah.
So he enters into Mach.
Little thing, and he's like, Maha! Because they apparently can't say Mach.
For anyone who watched all that.
No, that was the Amanda show.
Right, that's it. Same thing.
Raven has not said a thing in this entire podcast.
You're saving your arguments for the mock discussion? For the mockumentary?
He starts fighting, and honestly, like, holy fuck. This guy's a badass. Like,
We'll save a commentary on
Mach. I'm trying to describe his fighting, because that's part of the episode.
Calling him badass is not describing his fighting.
All right. He's very, like, showy. He's an acrobat. He grabs a rope, and he spins around, does some acrobatic shit, and then you see his Zenran shooter. And he actually does this really cool thing where, like, he can actually, like, he, like, shoots across the ground, and then, like, the shots just go, and then they, like, go upwards on the enemy or whatever, and it's just really cool.
That's because of his Mach speed ability.
And the funny thing is, it was awesome to see how, like, pissed off Gunman was. He was just like, oh, not fucking you again, because apparently he's dealt with them before, like, in America.
Yeah. So, and Gunslinger, haha.
Get it? He's a Western gunslinger!
And he's black.
And then Jeremy Clarkson, James May, and Richard Gordon went on to review another supercar after the Stig decided to do a lap around their track.
You know what bugged me about Mach's Henshin?
Hmm?
We only see it from the back this episode.
Well, maybe they're going to show more of it in the future.
Oh, no, absolutely they will.
Next episode they'll do it.
It felt like a really unnecessary tease.
But anyway, he defeats the gunman.
With the whole new Deno shtick, I'll defeat him in 90 seconds.
I got him!
And then, we get a... What was the review?
Oh,
what was the twist?
We find out that Go is Kiriko's brother. Living overseas.
There's so much going on, I wasn't sure what you were
referring to.
Apparently
there's roid mute activity in America, so...
So why are you here, fuckface?
He's probably the
prototype. Because he fixed it.
Okay.
And I like how
he's a boss.
I don't know if he can destroy cores. I actually don't believe he can destroy cores.
He eats cores.
What?
He absorbed it.
Medic absorbed it.
Oh.
Yeah, Medic absorbed it.
We don't know. They haven't established if he can destroy cores.
Yeah, because I think only Drive can destroy cores. I actually do believe that.
Well, the thing is, the reason Proto Drive can do it is because it was a prototype. Mach looks like a finished product.
Yeah, but Mach also is American made.
I'm calling this right now.
It's racist?
Wait. He cut me off before I could say anything, before I could finish. He's the American made one. And I don't think he can destroy cores. And I think all the cores that he's destroyed in America are coming back.
There's no evidence either way at this point.
It's only because of the gunman is the reason why I say that. It's because he couldn't destroy. He clearly could destroy them at any time. And he goes, whatever. As long as they rebuild themselves, I can keep destroying them.
Here's the thing. The only evidence we have to suggest that Mach couldn't destroy cores is the fact that Gunman is there.
Yeah.
We don't know if he just never got the chance.
This is something that kind of bothered me a bit, because I'm worried about. I noticed as Mach was fighting, he's like, oh, 90 seconds, that should do it. And so I'm worried that he might actually have, like, a time limit on how long he can use, driver for.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say this right now? What I think his rider system is basically, it's not one that the professor made. It was, I think at some point the American government might have asked him for his technology because there might have been an influx of roid mute activity in the States at one point when they wanted to build it, but he either did or didn't give them the technology.
Here's
and made one anyway.
Here's my counter. But
America's
to
destroyed, guys.
Here's
Can
my
I
counter.
Just say,
true say.
It's like that 90 second comment, Lane. He's new Deno.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. I think he just said that because he wanted to be a showy fuck.
Yeah, he's a cocky motherfucker, therefore a new Deno.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I'll do it in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about where the Mach system came from. If you use a signal bike in the drive driver, it says type next. So the Mach system is also called the next system. So it seems to me like the Mach driver is something that Professor Pepler, Steinbelt, whatever, may have been designing to be a drive system second edition.
Well, that's the good theory and all, but I think it's more along the lines of that, like, again, American made. Americans are cocky.
Yes. Next. But the also other okay, thing is he may have been created by Steinbelt and then he stationed him in America so he could, you know, cover
thing.
All grounds.
If it was completely out of Steinbelt's involvement, then there's no way the signal bikes would have that sound in the drive.
Because honestly, you didn't really see Belt's reaction that much when Mach was around.
Yeah, but will he use the signal bike in the show? Or is it just because the signal bikes work in the driver, they just did that as a special thing?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. He recognized Dazzling Circus.
Amazing Circus.
Well, that's because he sent Amazing Circus to America.
Yeah, the ship car.
Which means that maybe he, like, reconnaissanced with whoever.
But remember in the episode before, he actually said that he sent a lot of shift cars all over the world because of Slowdown.
No, I know, but maybe when he sent Amazing Circus to wherever in America, he was communicating with the people there who made the Mach driver.
Mm. Yeah, that's why I think that may also be a thing.
Yeah. We're throwing a lot of theories around, but we have nothing concrete to go on yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
So, Mach...
Let's do the Mach hour now.
Hold on, we'll just finish the episode. So, okay. So, Mach destroys Gunman, and Medic revives him, and they go on to explain their plan that they're going to use Medic to revive all the Roid mutes that have been killed so far. And then, for some fucking reason, we see Gunman's supposed brother, who's, like, a fat white dude, and is, like, flamboyant as all fuck.
He's definitely black. He's just a fat black guy.
Is he? Because they didn't show
close-up of him. The lighting looked really bad, but it definitely is a black guy.
He sounded weird.
You're
going to
feel so bad next week when we find out it's just a Japanese guy.
I don't care. Whatever.
I don't know.
I say what I want.
I want him to look like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
I want him to look like Japanese Eddie Murphy.
I just love when, like, after the battle and, like...
Holy shit, Colorado over here!
Kiriko introduces Tamari and Go, and he just responds by, like, aah! And, like, waggles his legs in the air because
Do you mean the typical, generic, stereotypical Japanese thing? Oh, okay, he's your brother, he's your brother.
No, but he takes it a step further. Like, usually they'll just, like, get in your face and go, but he takes it a step further, and by further I mean back. By creeping all the way as far as he can go and waggling his fucking legs.
Oh, can I say, damn, Kiriko looks good in a fucking tight pair of
jeans. Yeah, every time Kiriko dresses in a civilian outfit, she looks hot.
I loved her. She was like, they're like, oh, I don't know. She's on her day off. Her brother's coming back from overseas, and you see her preparing her house, and she's like,
You know, well, you know what? You say that she looks hot in civilian clothes. I still think she looks really hot in the policeman outfit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Like, ultra hot. I mean, like,
not even
a second thought would pass if I wanted to ask me at him.
Here's the thing. The reason I don't like her in the uniform is because I'm not into the whole overbearing One-san type that she portrays in the outfit.
I like the Go.
I'll give you that.
I like the Go went up to her, and he's like, did you see me? Did you see what I did? Was that awesome?
Yeah.
Okay, squirt.
It was all for you.
All for you.
So... Yeah, there was a mention in the episode preview that apparently Mach has the ability to control density shift.
And we will see that. But speaking of Mach...
But wait, one more thing, just before we go. While Belt-San was talking to Medic, someone was behind moving the belt.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to talk, he's shifting the belt
me
up
and
down.
Me and Dave were talking about how awkward is that, because that guy would have been right up in his back, like, oh, God, this is my life, eh?
Yeah.
Shaking a belt from behind.
Yeah.
He's clearly... The guy's earning his title of Key Grip.
Oh!
Alright, so now, let's talk about Mach. It's mocking time!
It's time for the mockumentary.
Oh, you mean the speed racer cosplay?
His name is Mach. His rider name is Mach. His actual name is Go. Maha Go. Fucking speed racer.
No.
He's white and red.
He's got a fucking scarf, which I know is a thing, but still.
He's also...
It's a muffler.
He's designed after Evel Knievel.
But it's a really cool looking suit, especially. This is the one that kind of like won me and Paul over. At the very end of the fight, he pulls his visor up
and like exhausts.
Do you know why he does that?
Because he builds up energy.
Because he builds up energy while he's fighting.
It's kind of like Ixa, if you think about
it.
Yeah,
it's like a reverse.
And then he pulls up the mask, and then all the steam and energy comes out. Now that's where I keep thinking that maybe Lane is right, and he has a time limit. Because...
If he builds up too much without exhausting, he might overheat.
He could be like, what's that guy
Blue
from GoBuster?
Blue Buster.
Yeah.
Very possible. I would like that a lot.
Or he might do this in combat.
Oh, you open his helmet
in
combat? I'm sure he'll do that at some point.
Because he's eventually gonna team up with Drive. In the next episode they're gonna fight each other anyway. Yeah. But that's gonna be like, my brother, no, don't do this, and they fight each other, and then they're friends.
Yeah. Anyways, before we proceed, because I know there's going to be a lot of arguments, I think we should go around in order and talk about our opinions on Mock, now that he's been completely revealed. Mm-hmm. So let's start with Lane, because I know you're going to gush about him.
Yay, so I love him. His design is fucking amazing. All I know is I'm getting the figure out of him. It's inevitable. I'm getting the belt. His belt. Probably belt. All the Signal bikes, because, like, I love his belt. I really do. Like, it's very simple, but it has more fucking sounds and shit than the driver fucking has.
Can I just say something? Mm. I hope the belt comes with all five of those Signal bikes.
It doesn't. It comes won't. With just
absolutely
Mock
won't.
Signal
just
bike.
Just Mock, and that's it?
Yeah.
So how will you, I guess, you get the buy his gun?
Magarl is the Zenrin shooter. The green one. Okay. Yeah, that's a Zenrin shooter.
I need to buy the gun, too. So I'm buying the belt and the gun.
Remember, they'll make Gashapon ones.
No, I don't care about Gashapon. I gotta buy the gun.
Okay.
But the thing is, with the Signal bikes, why would you not want the Gashapon? Because there's no worry about the flip mechanic being
shit. I still
want
to buy the gun anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, keep going.
It has more function than the driver. It uses Signal bikes, it uses shift cars, and it uses viral cores as well. And it, like, if you've noticed, the Drive driver is English, while the Mock driver is Japanese.
Which,
like,
is really weird, because it's American-made.
I think that's just supposed to be, like,
that's the
joke. Irony.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mock driver says the Japanese equivalent of whatever the English
is. So, like,
when
if you put this type speed chip car, it goes, hi-hi! But it's really cool. It's a very simple, like, it doesn't need anything, you just pop it up, put the Signal bike in, then pop it back down again, and it does all the sounds that you need to do, and then you can press, like, a button four times to activate, like,
the throttle button.
Yeah, the throttle button.
The literally throttle.
Can I the jerk off button?
Can I just say one thing? I found it funny that when he was using, you know, the curve bike?
The Magaru bike?
Magarl?
Yeah. It sounded like Magaw.
Magaw!
It sounded like Magaw.
Magaw!
Diamonds, Magaru!
Magaw, Magaw!
Ichi's had some complaints, and it's kind of a little thing, too.
I'll speak on my complaints.
Well, the stop Signal bike is...
You fucker.
Never mind. Okay. Well, Ichi will explain when he gets to it. But yeah, if he continues to be as awesome as he was in his debut, he might actually be a replacement for Excel for me.
You have to explain the context on that.
I mean, okay, Excel
is your favorite rider.
Yeah, Excel is one of my top five favorite riders of all time. Like, I've loved him since his debut in double, but Mock may actually be a replacement for him because they're both bike riders.
Ooh.
Funny.
David is currently about to strangle
Why?
In.
Why? You don't like Excel?
I hate Excel.
Yes. So you should be happy.
I don't like Mock either. Can I go next?
But you're about to buy the belt and the gun.
Right. The reason why is because it is the most, you get the most bang for your dollar. I get to use the shift cars. I get to use the viral cores. And I get to use Signal bikes.
No, I know. We've already said this.
So that's why I want the belt. I'm going to talk. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, it's your turn.
It's already your turn. Whatever.
Okay. Mock, to me, I hate the guy. I hate the character. Love the rider. Love the system. Love everything about it. The character, he's a dick. He's so dick. I mean, like, he's like, the biggest, blackest dick.
Well, that's why I like him. He's the polar opposite of what Shinosuke is.
I fucking hate everything about him, and all of his attacks, are really flashy and awesome, except for the riding up a fucking rope and spinning in a circle. That's all he did. That was it.
That was like the directors, like, or whoever was in charge of that knew someone who could do that.
Yeah, I
and
know.
And they just said, I want to film this now.
But, like, it didn't make any sense. Other than the fact I think he did it because he wanted to waste his ammo. Because he ran out of ammo at the end. When he was doing his seesaws, he's like, shit, I'm out of ammo.
I want to see rope tricks.
I want to see a rope trick, everybody. Yeah. Can we have a rope trick?
And then,
no, George Lucas, we can't have that.
And then he, like Lane
the
said, crush. He has, like, this attack that he goes, like... Because he's in Mock, right? Like, what is it, Hyper, whatever it was, when he hits five times?
Full throttle, that's his throttle.
Yeah, It said something when he did it.
Oh, it depends on which bike or vehicle
he's using. It was in Mach.
It was something Maha.
Yeah.
There's a different word for everything you can put in the
plane. He did that, and then he's like, he hits him with the front tire, knocks him back, and then does like vroom vroom with his hand. And I'm like, how is that going to do a thing in the toy?
Yeah.
And then he fucking blows the guy up like with a snake shot. So it hits the ground straight up. I'm just like, you couldn't just go and hit him 100 times? No, you have to shoot the ground and the ceiling.
He's got
to
make a show of it.
And it was pretty cool. I'll give him that.
All right. Little one final thing. He tried to pull up and up on Wizard, and he's like, it's showtime!
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Okay.
His signal Kokan for shooting the bullet around the corner was pretty cool. Except for the fact that he hit it 3 times and it only turned twice.
Wow.
Anyways.
Ichi doesn't like Mach that much.
Yeah, so number one, what Layden was saying earlier is, for some reason, the signal bike that is like the stop sign, because all the signal bikes are like road signals, for some reason the stop signal bike is not red, but yellow. That really bugs me.
And then his other one that looks like, it's like a bullet bill or something like that, that one's red. It's like it's a yellow sign, but it's a red signal bike. So, Bandai decided,
Guys, can I just...
Yeah.
Welcome to Japanese street signs.
But there's a red light in this, aren't there?
I'm almost certain the Japanese stop sign is yellow.
I'm going to look it up.
No, it's red, yellow, and blue.
I'm looking it up.
He's talking about a stop sign, not signal.
Yeah, I'm
not
talking about stop light. On the signal bike, the stop sign is red.
Yeah, no, it is red. I looked it up.
It is red. Never mind. I'm wrong.
Yeah. So, anyways.
It's an American stoplight.
Whatever. Anyways, yeah, Mach. So, like I said, he's a flighty, smarmy asshole, and I don't like him yet. I'm sure there will be some developments that may change my opinion, but as of now, I don't like how he just shoves his victory into Mari's face repeatedly.
Here's a douche.
He's kind of how fucking, what's his beast was at the start of his debut.
He's even more of an asshole than Beast was.
I know.
I just want to get my piece done. Yeah. So, as for the design, I'm not a fan of that either. The white and red just scream Speed Racer at me, and I get that may have been the intent, but mostly Evel Knievel is a factor in this, which I'm not a fan of either. The blue eyepieces are cool, and yes, the helmet lifting up to exhaust is a very neat idea, and I look forward to that being used in creative ways.
Yeah.
The belt I hate more than anything.
Wow.
The belt is ugly and lopsided, and it shoots jet engines out the side. I get it, it's the exhaust of a bike. I completely understand the motif. It just looks weird to me. And the mechanic for putting in the vehicles into the bike seems completely lacking of purpose and thought. You just lift it up, put the thing in, and slide it down, and it like locks into the engine.
He did something with the shit with the thing because it made a noise. He went like that and kind of like
the signal bikes don't flip around or anything.
No, he made it. It made a noise when he picked it up, and he went like that. Like it
that's
did
just
something.
That's just the sound they add for when they hold it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like pulling it out of hammer space. Mm-hmm. I really hope we get to see him use shift cars and viral cores.
Yeah, same.
Because you
see him a lot in scan stuff. You see him a lot with Chaser, so.
Yeah.
He probably does shit with them.
So, like you said, the best thing about the Mach driver is its functionality, which I look forward to seeing used. Although, based on the track record of, hey, extra things a belt can do, we will probably only see it once ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, thoughts generally negative, but I have not completely given up on him.
Don't give up on drive. All we need is drive.
Yes. No, drive I'm okay with. Type Technic has continued to blow my fucking mind.
Anyway.
I bought the shift car.
Anyway,
any other thoughts?
We have been talking about drive for 45 minutes.
Paul wants a piece on Mach.
Alright.
Okay.
Alright. Now,
buckle in, kiddies, is a long play.
Just hear me out.
Okay.
So, you guys say he's smarmy and an asshole and throws his victory in other people's faces. Reason number one, he's a circus performer. He's got a big ego. He's a showman. He's a performer. And a photographer and all that other cool shit. Mm. Two, he out-detective drive in this entire episode. He's going around with PKE meters doing all this shit, and he's figuring out slowly. But he had it figured out, like you're meant to believe he had it figured out so much more before that. If he's better than Drive at being a detective, he's allowed to be better than Drive at being a detective.
Well, no, the thing is, he had a head start.
I think that, no. I think it, what he was doing was riding on the coattails.
Because he knew gunmen from Finding Him in America.
Yeah. Okay, so he had a lead. That's not his fault. He was
It's not his fault, but it proves that Tamari never had a chance to solve it first.
Sure he did. If he's as smart as him, he should have been able to
He actually was riding on Drive's coattails.
How do you figure that?
Because in scenes where he was fighting the gunman, the other guy where he got the pictures of the gunman without his thing, you saw him in the background behind like pipes. Taking pictures of Drive fighting the gunman.
So
Drive couldn't have been taking pictures of any of that while he was fighting. Yeah,
no. All of the things that happened
up until the point where he came into the room and knocked all the things down. He was riding on his coattails,
and taking advantage of him.
No,
yeah,
no, he's not. He's being smart. Normally, I don't approve of this sort of thing, but he's being smart. He's not fighting when he doesn't need to.
No.
Drive was doing his thing throughout the entire thing, but it is not... Go is not a bad character or a bad guy for doing things more efficiently and more quickly.
But he is a bad guy for being a fucking asshole about it.
That's not response to that statement. You're making a generalized statement based on your taste.
No, the thing is, yes, he outclassed Drive in the detective work, and yes, he had a reason to do so. And
he could have been humble about it, but he wasn't.
Exactly.
But he's a circus performer.
So if you're a circus performer, you're allowed to be a dick?
Yeah.
You're allowed to be boisterous.
He was boisterous. Okay, here's the difference. Here's the difference.
Boisterous and then there's an asshole.
Here's the difference. We're not complaining about him being a performer. My comments on that, which is unrelated.
Did he in any way hinder Drive?
No. Yes!
How? No.
When he took the picture and he
took the picture and made it a paper airplane.
He threw it away.
He tricked him. He was playing
a game. Yeah, and that was wasting his time with the guy who was looking stuff up.
He didn't even do it. His fucking friend went and did it. It was
but the point was he had evidence that he was withholding from him.
No, he didn't. All right. It's a picture of a Roidmune. People have seen Roidmune.
My
before.
Point is,
it's not evidence.
My
just
point was,
with him.
My point was, it is completely okay that he has done the detective work. Even though he had an unfair advantage. My point was, if he had come in and been completely cooperative about it, it would have been fine. The fact that he was a circus performer and had a showy henchin and a showy attitude is totally in line with his personality, and I'm willing to accept that.
He wants to
but
be
the
star
thing is,
of the show. He wants to show him up.
He is actively trying to undermine Tamari.
No,
and
he is not.
Wait,
he was
the mallet section.
Shut up!
That wasn't him
shut
undermining
up.
What?
Let me speak. Yeah, all right. You guys speak over me all the time, and I'm gonna frickin' speak. He never hindered him at all. He always came along and he went, oh, well, you know, I happen to know this sort of thing. Guess I better just walk away and continue my investigation. He never hindered him in any way. If he heard that the other guys had any sort of information that he could use, sure, he went and he listened to him. But he wasn't setting up little traps for him so that he'd figure it out himself.
No.
He just wants to be the star of the show, and he decided to show up the protagonist at his own game.
But you could argue that he was actually fucking around with Tamari by psyching him out with his little mind
games.
No,
you couldn't. If you were petty,
but,
you could.
Okay, well, the tech guy got fucked over by him,
but
though.
If you're a professional, you should be able to rise above that sort of thing. The man is a cop. Don't make excuses for him.
The tech guy isn't a cop. He's just a guy they hired.
The tech guy, his role in this whole thing was to go, oh my god, a picture of a Roy.
Yeah,
dude.
He freaked out because he's never seen one.
No, Paul, why he freaked out is pretty obvious. No one's ever gotten photographic evidence of these things. People have seen them, yes.
Yeah, every time a Roy meets around,
slowdown, nobody can aim a camera.
Sure, nobody came a camera.
There is
still
no, there is to this point, no photographic evidence of these things. The entire police force does not believe they exist.
Go basically walked in and said, here's a picture of Bigfoot, you want it?
I have a fucking picture of these things that the entire police force doesn't believe exists.
Why don't they believe it? Civilians have seen them.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, they flat out
these cops are assholes.
Guys, at the beginning of the episode, they flat out showed it. The entire police force laughed in the one guy's face the minute he mentioned monsters exist.
Okay, that's fine. But if the civilians know about it, that means politicians know about it and other people know about it. It's a fallacy that these cops should not
this
believe.
This is also a welcome to the universe.
It is an urban legend. Guys, it's a TV show.
It's
not going to be always an asshole like this. He's going to get some major character development and he's going to be like, oh, I'm sorry for being such a showy motherfucker.
Yeah, and maybe like
30 episodes
in the end, it's his character, it's who he is, it's just this, it's literally, this is the episode establishing who he is.
The only character development he's gonna get is after he kills Weather.
Alright!
Thank you for editing that out, David.
Alright, so now we're in Tokyuger episode 41, which is the New Year's special.
No, 42.
Hang on.
42, sorry.
Hang on, I just got a question. Can we, like, edit out this entire section and just edit in our discussion from the actual episode this is flashing back to?
No!
Okay, if you can get me episode 1's podcast, I'll do it.
I'll give it to you.
I'll do it!
Okay, done.
Anyway. So, wait, see if anyone
notices.
No, there's a couple things that
need
to be mentioned.
See if anyone notices.
No, we're talking about MacGyver 2 now.
There's a couple things that need to be mentioned.
Chip, watch it go!
Fuck you. Okay, can we talk about the conductor's fucking dog face?
Wait, if I may. Oh my god, what's wrong with your face? What the hell was that?
That was him feeling old.
But he looked like a dog.
He had droopy cheeks like an old guy.
He looked like droopy, like, you know.
Who is old and droopy?
Until Hugers are in trouble these
days. I love you.
Capote runs the Tokugers?
Apparently.
Anyway, I thought that fucker was dead.
No, but just literally, his reaction at the same time was just, ah! And then we're like, David, come in here. Ah!
No, wait.
No,
don't be quiet.
No.
This is my accurate response. Ah!
It was amazing.
Frenchman, I'm sorry.
And then they did it again later, and we screamed equally as loud.
No, the worst part of it, though, was the fact that we start, like, with a low angle, so we just pan up to his face. And all at once, we're all like, what the fuck?
He had clay all over his face. Get out of here! It was looking like he had clay, not even, like, anything good.
Anyways, the other thing that is hilarious enough to mention about this episode is, oh man, the Tokugers are bummed because their hometown is the evil guy's base. Aww. You know what would make them feel better? Writing a letter to their families who are trapped in darkness!
Thanks, ass robot.
But thanks to the postal, Russia, they're able to send them.
They straight up wrote letters and then put them into the Rainbow
Rush. Is that what this episode was about?
Yes!
Writing home to their potentially dead parents.
This is what you people wonder why I don't watch this tripe. And it'll then they ruin your brain.
I am with you 100%.
And then they celebrate.
One at a time!
Fuck you guys with your flashback episode. Get back to the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Then they celebrated.
No, you know what this was? This was an end of year special.
Yeah.
Then they celebrated their New Year's and their celebration of the letters with singing the second half of the Tokuger opening with the actual band who was somehow in the Diesel Russia.
Yeah, the Diesel Russia pulls up. Oh, look, it's the fucking Rainbow Line maintenance team. It's Daiki Issei and the band that did the Tokuger opening who bust out in a concert of the second verse and foreign of the Tokuger opening.
Is that actually their band name, Daiki Issei?
No, that's the name of the singer.
That made the Tokuger opening.
No. Daiki Issei is the name of the singer.
No, but the best
part, if I've got that right,
honestly, was the end where they go to, like, they're about to the train corner, and so the lead singer of the band is just like, alright, it's time to do the train corner. Wait, I don't fucking sing this song.
I'm not paid enough for the shit.
And he walks off, and I'm like,
the only other thing of note, I guess you could say about this episode was the relationship. In air quotes.
Tokati and Mio stuff happened.
And me and Sal were just like, put your arm around her.
Do something. I know they're kids, but still.
Even I was like, no, man, the fuck up.
There.
Man up, Haru.
Yeah.
No, yeah. He's literally like, Takati pulled what fucking Mai did to Coda in one episode, where it's just like, stop thinking about others! Think more about yourself for once! And I'm like, no! Okay. If she wants to keep her fucking feelings bottled up, let her!
I just love how Mio put the pieces together. So wait, you're not hiding your feelings. Your feelings are just about someone else. Do you love me? No!
They just turn red, they start spinning around, just...
Because they're actually children.
Kawaii.
That's too
neat. In that adorable.
Kind of. A little gross.
Oh, and then Akira wanted to sing karaoke, and he pulled out his weapon, and he had a microphone in it, dressed up like Elvis.
He had a
But it was funny, like, Light's just like, oh, no, I want to go, we're going to go take them on right now, and then, like, literally, I think it was Kagura or Mio or something convinces him to go away, and then Akira's just like... Thanks, I wouldn't have been able to stop.
What the fuck sentence did you just string together?
Guys, I think I'm getting dumber. I think I'm getting dumber from leading from this.
This is what happens when I don't actually write notes.
Can we go to Guyver 2
now? Last thing. Biggest fucking onigiri I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I'm sorry. Jelly donut.
It's a hamburger.
No, it was rice.
Hashtag Brock snacks.
Featured topic.
Guyver.
All right, Guyver. I am the Guyver.
I am. The Guyver.
Such a good
one. So, yeah, this week we watched, well, most of us, those who hadn't already watched it, we watched Guyver 2, Dark Hero. Why is this one better?
So, I want to say that, I want to say this.
This is going to be a very polarizing discussion.
I want to say this first.
How about
of
we
all.
Get the two people that hate it out of the way first, well, so we can praise it
I
to
didn't,
win?
I didn't hate it. I thought it was bad, but okay, here's my thing. Since I've ever heard of Guyver being a thing, right? I've always heard the first movie is the worst thing ever. Argo, Flargo, Blargle, Mark Rabble. Hamill, Mark Hamill, Human Centipede.
Driving guys.
Yeah. Anyways, now, every opinion I've ever heard myself, those from my friends, those from online personalities, those from reviews, say that not only is Guyver 2 Dark Hero good, but leaps and bounds better and great than Guyver. Why?
Like... I don't
know. We'll explain when it's our turn.
Well, no, I'm open to discussion here. Yep. Let's get this one out of the way. Guyver 2 Dark Hero came out in 1994. It was a direct-to-video release, actually. And it stars no longer Blandy McBland-Bland.
But David Hayter.
David Hayter, fucking Solid
fucking Snake.
And this was before he was Solid Snake, so...
Yeah.
Take on that what you will.
At some point, you can kind of hear it in his voice.
And this is a sequel. This isn't a reboot. This isn't a... This is a straight sequel, yes. They mention the events of the first film.
Yep.
And basically, the plot, in air quotes...
What semblance of it you could call?
Is Sean, because he's still Sean, not show.
Well, okay, American audience.
Yeah. Whitewashed show.
At least they have the decency to respect their own canon.
This is like if you took two cannons and they shot each other. Anyways, he's still the Guyver, and because Kronos has been destroyed, at least as far as he knows, he's just going to wipe out crime. And he does so by killing them all, and he gets these voices inside his head.
Straight up murders criminals.
Well, no, I think it's the Guyver unit himself.
No, it is. It's like talking
that's,
to him or something.
That's why he says, I don't kill people, it does.
Yeah.
And so then... He wants to lay low, and he hears about werewolf attacks or something in Utah, because I guess they
could be Zoan.
I guess they got tax breaks for filming in Utah.
Hey, at least
that's gotta be it.
Hey, it's close enough to New Mexico, I guess.
There you go. And
that
so he goes,
was a thing.
And so he goes to Utah to go on an archaeological dig, because there's these caves where they're finding weird skulls and art paintings, and shenanigans occur from there.
Do
you
want to know something funny, though? If he never turned on his TV and had it on that channel where it shows news report, this movie would not have happened.
Isn't that fucking convenient?
Yeah. No, and the Zoinoids would have destroyed us all.
Yep.
Yeah. So...
Thank you, TV. And people say you're
bad. So now,
bad.
That's your basic plot. Let me ask you guys something. Why is this movie better than the first one?
Well, I'm going to correct you on your plot issue because you left out a few things.
Okay. Well, I was just giving the basic.
Yeah. The plot of this movie is the fact that Sean Barker, because of being called to it, because of the magical neck tumors he got from becoming a superhero, he's being called to an archaeological dig. And that archaeological dig is basically in a mountain that is built over a giant spaceship that was left there by the creator race that created
Same guys who made the Gyver.
And Zoonoids and everything, and he's being called there. Now,
because even canon in the animated series is those little things on the back of his neck allow him to telepathically
speak with other things of the like. The plot of this movie is the fact that he is called there by a force that he can't quite describe, and that force is what is inside of the ship, and it's calling the Gyver to basically upload the ship's information into the Gyver unit, because that's what's programmed to do by the creators. And the conflict of this whole thing was that Kronos was not only still around, but was in the process of doing this excavation in order to get the three new Gyver units inside of the ship.
Now that's what happens in the actual, like, manga and anime, right?
In this movie, there was only one.
To an extent.
It's a mishmash of a lot of things from the anime and manga. There are three Gyver units.
No, I know that, but in this movie, we only see one other one.
Yeah, you see the broken unit, broken unit zero. Yeah.
The broken unit was...
unit zero. Yeah. Oh, that was
the broken unit was actually a play on a unit that was used, surprisingly enough, by Lisker.
You remember the bald guy?
Lisker was the original guy.
John Barrymore, Barryman, whatever.
Barryman-Nego?
Barryman, yeah.
This movie depicted a Gyver unit that most closely resembled Gyver 3. However, basically the Gyver units, you're going to love this, to the creator race, they're spacesuits.
Yeah.
They're standard-ass spacesuits with a couple of onboard weapons.
They mentioned that in the prologue of the first movie.
That's what it is. They
basically walked in there to raid the spacesuit club.
No, yeah. Now, Unit Zero,
yes,
on the other hand, is actually a thing from the anime as well. Uh-huh. That was the original test the creators did with mankind that is the reason they left.
Sal wants to say something.
Okay, so why is this movie better than the first one?
Because it sets up a lot of the plot that the first movie did not do.
Let me get me out of the way. To start with
the reasons,
everyone's
I'm going to give a reason, and then I'm just going to let it be and let Lane continue. The first and foremost reason in my head is it is a far better adaptation.
That's one good point.
That is one major reason.
Okay, mine's very simple because I'm not the action was better. There was more gore, there was more action, lots more fighting, lots more cooler effects and stuff. That's why I think it was a better movie.
Fair point, actually, because as I was going to say, this movie leaps and bounds. The fight choreography was a lot better. It was done by, what's his name, Koichi Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Who, like, he's great. Like,
he's one of the legends.
Yeah, like, he's, like, big on, like, Power Rangers, too, actually. Yep. Which was, like, he did a lot for, like,
Wild Force.
He directed some, yeah.
Yeah. He did a lot of, like, I think it was Time Force he did, too?
Wild Force, though.
Well, you're weird. And so, yeah, the fight choreography is amazing in this. However, I noticed, like, as we're watching, this is very Power Ranger-esque fighting. Not that it's a bad thing.
It had a lot of Power Rangers caliber to its cinematography.
When did the first Power Rangers air?
93.
There you go.
But I don't know if he was part of it at that point.
Probably not.
He wasn't in Mighty Morphin.
Think about it this way. The first Gyver movie happened before Power Rangers.
Yes.
Then Power Rangers happened, became a huge success. Suddenly, a year later, the second Gyver movie happened.
Yeah.
It was partly cashing in on that.
Probably on that, yeah. So that's the thing.
They took a lot of cues from it.
Yeah.
I wonder if the VHS release had a promo for Mighty Morphin on it.
Probably not. Like, I mean, this movie was like not for kids. It was rated R.
Wouldn't it have been from like a competing company?
That's true. Would it? But anyway, Paul.
May I weigh in a little bit? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, Gyver 2 Dark Hero. I have been very vocal about the fact that I like this better than the original movie, even though I regard the original movie as more of a cult classic of my movie watching repertoire. However, this movie, I will admit, and all you guys are right, this movie has not aged very well. However, as a person, and I, I'll reiterate my story just a little bit for how I came into contact with Guyver. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me to Blockbuster, and he'd allow me to rent one movie and one game. And I came across Guyver 2 Dark Hero, and I wanted to rent it. My dad pretended to know what it was and told me that it wasn't for me, so he put it back. And so for the longest time throughout my childhood, I wondered what that movie was about. And so when I finally got around to watching it, when I was finally old enough to watch it...
Was this before or after you watched the first one?
Oh, I watched them in sequence. I found the first one first, and then I found Dark Hero later. Watched the first movie. I found it fun, but at the same time, I realized that it was an American adaptation of the story, but I also knew that it was really too lighthearted for what I felt Guyver was. And I know this is gorier, and this is more violent, and this is a lot of things. It is not more dark than the original Guyver film. However, when I first watched it, a few years after it came out, to be sure, but cusp of the 90s and 2000s, this was edgy for its time.
It's more like, it's not that the second one was more dark, it's that the first one was less dark.
But it was, if that sounds weird. It was as dark as the late 90s, early 2000s would really have allowed it to be.
Well, absolutely.
Mid-90s.
Well, mm-hmm. Early 90s, 94.
Yeah, 90s.
So, no, I think the thing that, like, maybe what people have sort of latched onto about this movie is, yes, there is a lot more gore in this. Now, I was surprised how, like, when I first heard that, oh, there's so much gore in this movie, there's not a lot of gore. There is gore.
I would say there's about the same as the first one.
Just not edited out.
I just have one more thought to complete. Just one more thing. Okay, but at the point when I had seen it, I had watched the OVA. I had watched the anime OVA. It was my first ever anime that I ever bought myself. And I watched it. And I decided, and it only intensified my desire to watch the live-action Guybert movies. And so I hunted them down. The first one disappointed me because it wasn't dark enough, but after watching the OVA and seeing how closely they tried to mirror it, I had a lot of respect for that. And I said, well, okay, they finally got some Guyver fans onto the film crew.
Actually, that's what I was going to say. This looked like a fan film. It kind of had that like sort of like a rich person decided, hey, I'm gonna throw like $1 million at this and let's make a movie.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, part of my problem with this is this was direct to video, so the movie quality is a lot lower than the first film.
Well, yeah.
This is one step above shot on shitio.
Okay.
But I really like the movie for a lot of things, like you said, the fight pornography.
So now that word's easier to say.
The fake fighting and shit.
Yeah, that shit's good.
And then also,
like, the monster. It's a half cat, half rhino.
Oh my, yeah, that was the dumbest fucking thing.
I'm like, why do I hear cat screeches in this rhino?
It was awesome.
Hedgehog thing.
Yeah, like, the monster, like, it's making a noise. You hear, like, most of the time, a cat.
Yeah.
It's just from that one monster, though.
It's like, what the hell?
It was from that one rhino porcupine thing.
Yeah. He picks up a tree and, like, fucking hits the Guyver in the face with it. Oh, this is a really good, really, really good fight scene.
No,
at least
in my opinion. Fighting's good. It's shot very well.
And then he slashes, the Guyver slashes him in the eye, and then he sees it later on in the human form and goes, yeah, you're fucking Zoonoid.
Yeah, see, that's a clever thing.
Because it's impossible for humans to get scratched in the same spot.
Exact same spot.
Still, though.
What would be the odds of that?
What were the odds?
In the same place.
You know what, though, guys? I never thought I'd say this, but I fucking miss Mitski.
And that Henshin.
Mizki.
What the fuck is a Mizki?
Henshin.
I miss Kid Dynamite.
I'm sorry. The girl, what's her name? Corey?
Yeah.
This woman was fucking nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
She looked hot, though.
No, she didn't.
No.
I couldn't tell her apart from any other female in this movie.
Okay, but wait. One more thing, because I was still talking and you guys cut me off. The fact that when he jumps off the cliff.
I was just about to talk about the cliff.
And he fucking transforms.
Oh!
And he lands on the ground and there's like a flaming crater there.
And how it syncs up perfectly with Go Ninja Go Ninja Go while he's running. And just when he reaches the thing and he reaches the Go Ninja Go Ninja Go climax, he goes, Guyver! And music stops for a second.
And it explodes outward.
That henshin was cool. I'll give you that.
So great. And then he lands on the fucking ground, and he goes up at fucking Mach 1, and it's crazy.
That was
cool.
The
thing that bothered me that,
it's full
like,
of cool things. It's not that great a movie.
Fact that he didn't know about the ship beforehand, he's just looking up like, what the fuck do you want? What do you want from me?
Well, yeah, I just
And then he
finally clicks in his head, oh, maybe I should wear the fucking alien.
Anyway,
thing.
Lane.
This is like a little minor, and maybe you guys noticed, I didn't. I didn't realize that, like, halfway through this movie, they somehow became a couple. I'm like, did that happen?
Yeah, like, off
when did they ship?
Yeah, exactly. They don't even have any development. It's just, well, I'm a man, you're a woman. At least
The weirdest part was is that you find out that, like, her father, that's, like, the head of the day, is a fucking Zoanoid!
You know what this was? You know what I drew parallels to watching that? Feist.
Oh,
she's Mari.
Oh, God, is she...
And her dad's the goat orphanage.
Why is the fact that the father's a Zoanoid a problem?
It's not a problem. It was just like...
It just seemed really sudden.
I was like...
He was a good Zoanoid. I like him.
And then the bald guy was like, remember our deal? And it's like, you promised you'd make my daughter stay out of it. Blah, 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 blah. He was being a good father. Like, I liked how he was defending her and everything.
What
like,
do you want me to say? Open sesame?
And then it fucking opens.
Yeah.
You know what part bugged the hell out of me, though?
What part bugged?
Like, because they play it up, like... Okay, so Sean goes to the ship's core or whatever, uh-huh. and he starts talking to it.
Uh-huh.
I'll buy that they can talk to each other. I can buy that.
Uh-huh.
But when he starts saying, why did you choose me? Why am I... Do I have this power? I don't want it. Why did you pick me? Buddy,
nobody
this is
picked
a,
you.
No, that's what I mean. This is a sequel. This is a direct sequel.
Yeah.
You found the Guyver by chance, and you fell onto it. It did not choose you.
But it was also calling to him.
No, it wasn't.
Because
he
had it. It would have called to whoever had it.
He had it in his bag, and then he dropped it, and then he face-planted
into it. I know
that,
So that just was something that bothered
me. The fact that he didn't clue in that he should put on the fucking
armor. I have a question about the
Guyver
unit, actually, about Lord of the Guyver unit. Does the Guyver unit have to be attached to your face to be used?
No.
Okay.
That just for whatever reason, that's the one thing in That is the one thing in the first movie they actually took out of the original.
Mm-hmm.
He
face-planted
into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also liked the relationship, like the kind of like thing between the FBI CIA agent or whatever the fuck he was.
Yeah.
And Sean's a horrible liar. I know you know something. You know he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, he's just literally. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was gonna say earlier, I like it, like, Sean goes into this movie with under the preconceived notion that he's defeated Kronos, and then this dude shows up. No, you just defeated Kronos LA.
Wah. LA?
Wah, wah, wah.
Kronos, I wonder how powerful Kronos Japan is!
Now we gotta start a whole saga of going
to
the different
Kronos
branches.
In the fucking anime, countries got Kronos branches. State? Cities? Get Kronos branches? No!
I'm sorry, but
the war's over!
You know what I just pictured? Like, just like, the FBI or CIA or whatever the fuck his name was,
it's not even important to remember. All right,
Sean, we've got to go around the country defeating the Kronos Corporation.
That's what I was saying!
Like, he's on, like, a motorcycle and, like, the buggy Guyver jumps in. And they
may
go
I
on adventures.
May I?
Is that already a thing?
That was supposed to be a thing.
It was supposed to be a TV show. It was
supposed to be a TV show spinoff.
The Guy Ventures.
No.
You know what I actually heard? That Sean Hader actually wanted to make...
David Hader?
David Hader, sorry. It's Sean.
No, we're calling you Sean Hader for the rest of the
day. Apparently, Hader pitched an outline for Guyver 3 to the director of this.
Oh.
But then the rights to the Guyver reverted to the original owners.
Yeah, and then he would not... And then he would go on later to screenwrite X-Men.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And teach your English class,
too. And he was a security guard in a brief shot.
Evan, I bet that pitch involved a bad guy named Al.
Probably.
Someone in this room has actually met David Hader.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
He taught Evan's English class once.
Yeah,
a few years twice.
I liked the FBI agent, though, in this movie because, like, he held his own. Like, when he was fighting with, like, the Guyver or whatever like that, he like fights them off with like he uses like a fire extinguisher to like repel them and stuff, and he like uses the environment to his advantage. And I was like, that's cool.
And then he electrocuted the motherfucker to death.
Yeah.
He's a CIA agent. Obviously, he's got some training.
You know who I honestly thought was playing him at first? I had to check to make sure because this actor, director, he's in these kind of movies. Mario Van Peebles. I thought it was him.
Van Peebles?
That's his name.
What's he know?
Look at him. Look at him.
I love Mario.
He's amazing.
He's from Highlander 3. He's Kane.
Oh.
That's Highlander 3.
Oh, it's Kane.
Anyways, while you're looking that up, I want to say my piece on this movie.
Okay. Go for it. Okay. Go for it!
This, before, disclaimer, this is coming from someone who has never watched anything Guyver-related before watching the first movie on our previous episode of Cast Ranger. I enjoyed the first one way more. The second one put me to sleep several times.
Do you know why you enjoyed the first
because
one more?
Because it was funny!
Exactly! You like humor in your shit you watch.
But okay, but now, I agree with Ichi, though. The fact is, I'm never going to watch Dark Hero again.
Yeah, me
neither. I'm probably going to watch, like, I've watched it before this.
Immediately after this podcast, I'm going to go and delete it from my computer.
But okay. Here's the thing. Yes, Guyver is, to me, a better movie because it's so bad, it's funny, it's got amazing moments of just, what the fuck was that? This movie, though, is just like, okay, there's only a few moments where I actually felt some life in this. One was when the movie scared the shit out of Ichi.
Oh my god, when the bald dude transforms
Crane,
the first time.
His name is Crane.
Crane? Holy shit, he scared me!
It was, no, but the best thing ever was the parallel we made, where it's just like, it would have been great if, like, Sean had gone up, hey, have you seen this, like, extraterrestrial being? Extraterrestrial what? Wait a minute. There looks something like this?
Straight up,
like,
Ivan Ooze.
He Ivan Oozed it, basically.
So, okay.
Yeah, sorry, one more thing.
Well, I was going to say, we should start wrapping it up.
No, but I want to bring up, though, there was one segment of this movie I thought was great. It was when Sean is, like, having the psychic flashes or whatever of what actually happened with the Zoonoids and the Guyvers and the creators.
And I'm going to say this right now, shot for shot, exactly how it is in the manga.
Like, you see...
That's the thing. That's why you guys enjoy this, because you already know Guyver,
like,
and it's a good adaptation.
Okay. Like I said, it was a better adaptation
now,
than the first.
Okay, just very
quick. I love how we're all raising our fucking hands.
Very, very quick opinion for me. Me, I'm autistic, as everyone knows, but I have a very, 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 very bad sense of humor. Like, shit that Ichi finds, like, goddamn fucking hysterical, I'll just be like, yeah. What? So I found Guyver 1 to be stupid. I found Guyver 2 awesome because I've grew up with action movies and gore and shit all my life. That's what I fucking like. The funniest thing for me is fart jokes. If I hear a constant fart joke or something, I'll laugh my ass off. But yeah, my sense of humor is fucking terrible. So I like Guyver 2 more because it more goes towards me because I like action, violence, and gore.
And let me guess, you thought Jack and Jill was robbed of an Oscar.
No, but come on.
I'm sorry. Take it back. I will, because I just compared. I compared a movie that had freaking alien suits to Jack and Jill with Adam. I'm sorry.
Guys,
take it back.
Guys, this movie taught us a very valuable lesson. If you mix cocaine with melted plastic and then shape it into Barbie dolls and then melt it down again.
Oh,
that
my
cocaine
God.
Is going to be so pure, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
<my
God. laughs>
All right.
Final thoughts.
All right. I loved it because I like the Guyver. It's a great thing.
I give it a 7 out of 10. I don't know much about Guyver, but honestly, I liked it.
Are we doing numbering things?
Yeah,
no,
I'm
giving it
a
7
out of
10. No,
8
no.
out of 10.
Number systems are stupid.
You go.
This movie's part of my childhood.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll love it forever. I mean, like, it's a great adaptation of if maybe my favorite anime of all time. It's a dry movie. It's flawed, and it hasn't aged very well.
No.
But for its time, and for a person who had just been exposed to something they found remarkable and just watched this for the first time after wanting to watch it for quite some time, it was a big deal for me, and you know what? I'll always like it.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a part of Guyver for me, and I can't dislike anything that's a part of Guyver.
Good job.
Ichi, you go, because I want to go last, because I think I had the highest, like, hopes for this. So I want to go last.
Well, there was one thing at the that was hinted at the end of Guyver 1 that didn't really come back in Guyver 2.
Dynamite!
No. We told Dynamite. You about that. We mentioned that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
So, but overall, what would you say?
I would go back and watch the first one again. I don't plan to ever watch this one again. Mm-hmm. I understand that it's a good adaptation and that you all enjoy it for those reasons. Me, not being a Guyver fan, not my slice of cake.
Slice of pie, sure.
Like I said, I appreciate this movie as a, hey, you know how badly they fucked up the first one? Yeah, here. Here's an actual decent adaptation of Guyver.
Shut up, fans.
It's for the fans. It's for no one else but the fans.
It's for the fans.
That is exactly it.
It confirmed that I probably wouldn't be interested in Guyver if I continued watching it.
That leads into my point here. Please let me say before you jump on me, because I know I'm about to, like, open a can of... I just want to know...
Paul's sitting up.
I need to leave the room.
I am in between Paul and Raven. Dude. So
he's actually leaving!
No!
Bye.
I can't listen to a person say this.
Oh, he knows I already told him. But I'm going to explain it later.
It's okay, do it!
Anyways.
We officially removed all sharp implements from my hands.
I
have a boxing glove. I'll be all right,
go. I'm a stylist.
Enough with the styluses. Anyways, I watched this movie. Like I said, I had the highest. I think of this entire group, I had the highest hopes. Like I said, everyone was telling me that this was not just better; it was actually a good movie overall. Then I watch it, and I'm like, what? And everyone says, oh, but it's a good adaptation, which leads me to believe that maybe this movie is worse than the first movie in one regard. It made me.
He's back!
It made me think maybe, just maybe, the source material isn't that good to begin with. However!
That was what I was thinking.
However.
Yeah.
That's why Guyver does transcend, I think, in a different way. Because that thought did cross my mind. But I'm still gonna fucking check out this anime. I'm still gonna check, because it seems to me, no, there is something here, people. There is something within these two shitty movies that just it jumps out at me. I don't know what it is yet. And I actually have started reading the manga, and it's cool as all hell. I can't wait to watch the anime. So what I say is, if you want a movie that, if you want to see some good fighting and good action and, terrible acting, I'm sorry, watch this movie. If you want to laugh your ass off and see some amazing special effects, watch the first movie.
All I'll say is he stabbed that fucking Zoonoid's eyes out!
Yeah!
Man!
Little kid!
Men! I was gonna say men.
And if you're
it's a fairy tale.
And if you're a human who likes violence and anime, just watch the anime.
Alright, so next week.
He's OVA.
So he goes up to the CIA agent. Right. Colonel!
So, to wrap it up, this week there is no superhero time, so there'll be no Drive, no Tokyuger. So next week we'll be watching the first three episodes of Kamen Rider Stronger and giving our opinions on
that. Also, we might actually get really lucky and the Drive Summer movie might be
Summer movie. Yeah, we're hoping that movie. Get to fucking work overtime!
And if that doesn't happen, then we'll fill in the time with another special topic for which we haven't chosen yet.
Yay!
We've got a list!
The biggest dicks in fucking Kamen Rider history!
Number one, you.
Oh. And this is for sale.
Dancing away my hunger pain.
Moving my feet. Okay, so.
Bye, guys.
Okay, so. Thank you all for listening.
Watch the Guyver.
Don't go to our podcast. Don't go to Podbean. Don't go to iTunes.
Watch the Guyver anime, basically.
Yeah. One final thing.
Do it!
Crunchman.
Yeah, we didn't
even.
I love you.
Yeah.
Also, hi, Fi, dear viewer. You're pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Greetings to Fi, who's designing our suits, and greetings to Crunchman, BioHybrid, and Noble, and all of our fans. We
love
you guys.
You, Noble.
We're getting a lot more vocal responses from our fans who've been joining us on our Fibbage adventures.
Our fans, the cast.
Ooh.
Yo. Well done,
I was going to go with the audience, but...
That's
no, the
good.
Cast. No.
That's good. We're going with that. Yeah.
Audience, you've been officially named.
Audience?
You are the cast.
You are the cast.
Audience! Hello, audience!
We're the show, you're the cast.
Let your dad!
I like that. So, as usual, you can find us at castranger.podbean.com. You can subscribe to our stuff on iTunes. We also mentioned that we have a Radio Sentai Cast Ranger Facebook page, and you can follow us on Twitter at Ixie Studios.
Or at Ledger.
Or at Overkill.
Guys, we want to hear your comments. Let us know how we're doing. We love this
Do
stuff.
They.
Send us pictures. I don't care.
Send us
pictures of Spider-Man.
Hey, send us
OV3RK1LL.
I swear to God, if somebody starts
that is my Snapchat.
Spider-Man at
us. That's the greatest thing.
OV3RK1LL. That's my Snapchat.
Go do
that now.
No, don't send us pictures of Spider-Man. Send us pictures of the Spider-Man Tokusatsu show from the 70s.
Yeah,
that's what you send us pictures of.
There
Damn
you go.
It.
Robot.
Somebody
so
should do that.
Just to reiterate, all you guys out there, send your nudes to OV3RK1LL.
I'm accepting
on Snapchat.
I'm accepting / fan fiction and Rule 34 art. I personally am a Raven Ichi shipper myself.
Oh, I would go more with you and Paul, because not only are you both movie
That'd
fans,
be Raichi.
But
oh God!
But your polarizing opinions on Guyver would make for really intense love story.
Hey, we're Saul.
Yeah.
Better call Saul.
My fan fiction is
or
Black
Pell.
And White Caster together.
No,
Pell is dumb. I hate Pell.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
See you guys later.
We are